the listener will be united as one, Lord, that we would worship you even as we hear the word of God this morning. Lord, I pray for brothers and sisters that are here and online, whatever the issues that we are going through, I pray that through our worship today, that those things will be resolved, that we will regain our peace and joy in the salvation that you have given to us. I lift up Sister Tess as she's moving on, Lord, to Youngstown and to Korea. I pray for your blessing upon her as she goes, Lord Father God, that she will be a channel of blessing to many, many people, Lord Father, especially in the country of Korea, Lord Father. I pray that you will use her to bring the salvation, the hope of joy with the people that she meets through this business that she's about to start there in Korea. I pray for your blessing upon us once again. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I found this story online many years ago. It's about a woman who was traveling on a business trip, and she was changing a flight, so she was at the airport. And she became a little hungry, right? So she went to a vending machine, got a bag of cookies, right? Famous, I don't know. That's my favorite, if you just kind of go to a vending machine and get a bag of cookies. So she got a bag of cookies. She came to her gate, I guess, and she was sitting there, and she was looking at her phone. She heard a noise. A man, nice in a business suit, was sitting right next to her, and he began to open her bag of cookies. She was surprised. She was about to say something. Hey, what are you doing? But she couldn't because he was well-dressed, and she just lost that opportunity. You know that moment where you're supposed to say something and you don't, and now it's like, what do you do? So he ate one cookie, and then she's like, okay, all right, you want to play this? She reached down, and she ate a cookie. Well, a little bit later, he would eat another cookie, and this time, he didn't say a word. He kind of smiled at her. Oh, my goodness, what is this guy doing, eating my cookie? Before you know it, you know, there's not that many cookies in a bag of Famous, right? It's just maybe 8 or 9. Came to the last one. And you know what he did? He broke off that cookie in half and gave her one half, and he took the other half. Left. Oh, goodness, she was so upset. She didn't know what to do. She crumpled that empty bag of cookies and she just went, oh, she was so upset. Now it was her time to go on her next flight. So she opened her handbag, tried to get her ticket, boarding pass out. And guess what was inside her bag? Bag of cookies. Inside her bag was her bag of cookies. You probably heard this story, right? Well, she had prejudgment upon this person. Many things. I mean, it's a funny story, but there's a lot of things that's involved here. First of all, the way this guy was dressed predetermined how she reacted. What if it was a homeless person? Do you think she would react differently? Perhaps. If somebody was wearing a shaggy clothes, raggedy clothes, and they grabbed her bag of cookies, she probably reacted differently. She probably jumped up and said, what are you doing eating my bag of cookies? Or she probably just said, oh, go ahead, just you eat it, it's okay. Perhaps her reaction might have been different. But because he was well-dressed, she reacted differently. You know, all of us have some type of prejudice, whether we admit it or not. BLM, what does that stand for now? Black Lives Matter, right? That's a big issue right now. Big issue right now. I mean, if you are praying and if you are a Christian, there's a lot of things happening in the United States, and we have to be concerned at least, right? Man, you know there's a huge fire that has burned millions of acres. I'm not talking about just millions of acres in California. State of Oregon declared a state of emergency because of the fire and the smoke. The governor of California came out and said, right now the air quality in California is like smoking 20 packs of cigarette every day. Of course, we are in Ohio, so we don't have to worry about that, but that's what's happening. And then, of course, this protests and riots that's happening all over the United States. People are still fighting. People are still wanting something to be done. You know, I've been watching NBA playoff, and you know, NBA players, they have slogans on back of their jersey instead of their name, right? They want to be part of this. There's a great movement that is happening in our nation. Of course, not to mention COVID-19, all of you are beautifully wearing those masks. Now it has become a fashion statement, right? Depending on color and the texture and style. How crazy is that, that we have to wear this mask? You know, it is very easy for us to be prejudiced. And prejudice, the word, might offend you a little bit. Me? Prejudice? Me? No, not me. What if I switch that word to favoritism? Now, that's a little comfortable, right? I have some favorite that I show to, right? I have 3 daughters. Which one is my favorite? I will never tell. I can't, right? They always ask me, who do you love the most? Do you love number 1, number 2, number 3? I say, I love your mom. The rest of you, she comes first. That's what I always tell my daughters, right? I can't show favoritism to my children, but we do. We do have our favorites, right? And often favoritism is shown by the way that other person looks, the way the other person is dressed, or even by the color of their skin. You know, I've taught in high school before I came here. I was a chaplain at a boarding school, and I was in charge of teaching Bible classes. And, you know, as I was teaching, you know, you can't help it. There are some good students that deserve your attention because they do all their work on time, and they're so nice. They're sitting upright, and they're very attentive in class. And then there are the other ones, right? The other ones that do not pay attention or any opportunity that they get. We use Chromebooks there, and they're using Chromebook to watch YouTube or doing odd things, and it's difficult not to show favoritism. But you know what? Bible says the favoritism is not something that we ought to do. In fact, the term partiality means to receive some type of favor or welcoming someone by their face value. What kind of face value? Social status, prestige, power, or wealth. Sometimes we refer to them as VIPs, right? You know, I've been to a couple places as a speaker to preach at a revival or a retreat. And I feel very uncomfortable because some churches actually put VIP sit for me. This is where Pastor Sam sits. He's our speaker. He's a VIP. I said, get rid of that sign. I don't like that. Don't call me VIP, right? All of us are VIP in the sight of God. You know, God hates favoritism. 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the where? Heart. God could care less about how we look. God cares all about our hearts. Paul says the same thing. It's the Galatians chapter 2. Verse 6, he says, and from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those I see influential adds nothing to me. I think it's ironic that we call those people who put pictures on Instagrams and have millions of followers, what do we call them? Influencer, right? Crazy. I mean, if you are influenced by those people, I feel bad for you. Because they're putting on these fake pictures on Instagram. And I appreciate those models. They say, okay, these are our fake pictures. See, you sometimes pose, you look you better, right? Depending on the angle of the camera, depending on the pose. I know that pose, like lady, one out to make your legs longer, right? Yeah, And we see influencers, right? And you see it on the article. This influencer did this. It's sad reality, but that's where we live in. People they influence. And Paul is saying that, hey, it makes no difference who they are. I don't show partiality. In fact, God views all people as equal. And if he were to show favor, who is he going to show favor to? Often I ask this question. If Jesus were to come back today, and he has to come back to a spot, where do you think he will come back to? A large church? A place where people gather to worship? The more I read about the Word of God, I see Jesus coming back to like a homeless shelter. Perhaps orphanage, a slum, right? Because those are the people that Jesus ministered to. So the very first thing that James tells us comes from verse 1. He says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." That's the statement. That's the message that James is giving us. Hey, we can stop here and just go home today. But you came all the way here, so we got to go a little long. Right? James says, don't show partiality. That's it. Because if you have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, you can't live a life showing partiality. And then he gives us illustration or example of the standard. So he says, if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing attention to the one who wearing the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinction among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Huh. Very simple example, isn't it? Now, let me give you the setting. This was the early church. People heard the gospel and they began to come to church to worship. But the irony is that it was not all just poor people that became Christian. There were some rich people who became Christian. And in a certain extent, a master and his servant or slave would attend the same church. So they would walk into the same door. Obviously, it created some a discomfort. So perhaps the rich people say, you know what? Why don't we sit up towards the front? Because we're educated. We can read. These people, they can't even read. And perhaps they didn't smell so nice. So they say, oh, let these people kind of sit towards back or sit on the floor. But those who gives a lot of money to the church, they get to have a particular seat. I kind of think that is funny, but in a way, we still hold on to that, don't we? We do. We still hold on to that. I wonder what would happen if a homeless person walked in through that door right now. How will we react? How will we react? What kind of reaction will we have? I mean, John is standing right by the door. Yes, maybe John said, okay, hey. Maybe John would say, hey, you don't belong here. Or let's go outside and talk. Because he wants to protect me, right? He wants to protect the pastor. He wants to protect our worship. Well, the response comes in verse 3. The usher was faced with the choice, right? Where does he seat these two people? In the early synagogues, there were different seats. Chief seats for the Pharisees to sit on. And then others who can sit on the floor in the back. So the usher gave his attention to the rich people or the Pharisees. While the poor man was given the choice to sit on the floor or stand up. And verse 4 is very clear. James described this motive for such a decision as evil. Evil. What was the motive of the usher? Maybe he wanted to receive some type of favor from this guy, right? If LeBron James was walking to that building, to our room today, wow, it would change. It would change me, right? My sermon would be a little different. Hey, LeBron James is here, right? It'd be difficult. But isn't that sad? A celebrity or an athlete, famous athlete, will walk into that door and our attitude will change. I mean, if there's one place where class distinctions should break down, it should be a place of worship, isn't it? We shouldn't care about the color of people's skin. We shouldn't care about where they stand politically or what type of Christian experience that they have or money, status, rank, name, clothes they wear or smell, size, age. All these things should not matter. However, someone said that in the United States, the most segregated time in the United States is on Sunday morning. Because all the churches worship God. That's being segregated. Praise God, we are able to worship together here. Now, James goes on. James is not only stating the prejudice and superficial judgment that it is wrong, but he gives us three arguments why it is wrong. First is this argument. Prejudice dishonors a man that God honors. Prejudice dishonors a man that God honors. It comes from verse 5. He asks a question to the people. He said, listen, my beloved brother. So he's talking to his brothers and sisters, all right, in Christ. He says, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, he has promised to those who love him? Basically, what James is saying, that God has chosen these people who are poor. As I mentioned to you, throughout the scripture, we find that God is more merciful towards people who are poor. So he expects us to do the same. And if we don't, we are guilty of sin. You know, yesterday during our cell group, in our discussion, a phrase, praying for our daily bread, came up. It's part of our Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, how many of you don't know what you are going to eat? Don't have means to provide for you yourself? None of us, right? Everyone sitting here have means to provide and eat. My worry is sometimes not do I have enough to eat, but what to eat, right? There's so many good restaurants here. I'm blown away. Columbus, Ohio, man. The home of the Wendy's. I'm blown away at the number of, I had never heard of some of the restaurants. And they're all good. So it's not about what to eat, but I mean, literally, what choice do I have? So many opportunities here. You know, but I've only been here, our family's been here about a month, but our fridge is already packed, stacked. We have a refrigerator. And a little small refrigerator and a freezer in the garage. And it's packed. My wife is prepared for pandemic. I mean, we don't have to shop for a month. We can feed all of you. Literally, right? We don't have to worry about our daily bread. Then why does God put that statement there? Why does he want us to pray for our daily bread? He wants us to be poor in the spirit. He wants us to be desperate for God every day. People who do not have enough to eat, guess what? They're desperate. A father who cannot provide for his family, He's desperate. And let me tell you, I can guarantee his prayer to God is far different than my prayer to God. But he's saying, God, if I don't find a job today, I cannot provide for my children. A single mother who's taking care of 3-4 children at home and they can't go to school and she has to go to work and she doesn't know what to do. Her desperate prayer is far different from our prayer. Oh, God chooses those who are poor in the spirit. What James is saying is that it's a condition of one's soul, isn't it? God looks at the heart, as we mentioned in 1 Samuel. Then we have to ask ourselves, where does my heart stand? What is my heart's condition? Am I poor in the spirit? Am I desperate for God? You know, I came to the United States when I was 10 years old. And I have a memory of my childhood in Korea. And one thing I remember was we were poor. It seems like everybody was poor back then. It's just like everybody was poor. And I remember I used to wear like same clothes to school every day. I don't think maybe once every other week. So it's kind of gross, isn't it? And we didn't take shower every day. Maybe once a week. We go to a bathhouse. We would actually go to a bathhouse and take bath there. Because hot water, not many people had hot water. I mean, I'm not that old, but that's how it was in the 70s in Korea. But one good thing that I remember, no one cared what other people wore. Nobody cared what kind of shoes they wore, what kind of shirt they wore. No one cared about people's hairstyle. No one cared. Because everybody was poor. There's no judgment. Everybody was equal. When you are poor in spirit, judgment disappears. You don't no longer care about what other people have. James tells us that when we show prejudice, then we are actually neglecting the people that God is honoring. The second reason that he gives us comes from 6 and 7. He says, prejudice rewards the bad people. James is asking the second question. He says, but you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? You know, during the time of James, there were a group of Pharisees called Sadducees. Sadducees. These are 70 men who basically make up the law. They study the word of God, and they would tell people, okay, these are the laws that you must obey. And the rest of the people, they didn't even know how to read. So they depend on these 70 men. They come up with the law, and they oppress people. They go around, find people who did something wrong, and they would take him to the court. And they would take him to the court, and these poor people, they had no means to fight. They didn't have lawyers back then. You are on your own. And you are accused. And sometimes, because just the fact that you are being accused, other people will disassociate with you. And the price for whatever the crime that you committed, sometimes you have to pay a lot of money. Or if they really didn't like you, they could kill you. They will stone you for whatever reason. In fact, what James is saying this, that verse 7, are they not the ones who blaspheme? Blaspheme who? Jesus, the honorable name by which you were called. These are the very people who crucified Jesus on the cross. And the moment they walk in the door, you're like, oh, come and sit right here. We find this situation in our time too, don't we? If you are rich, if you are famous, Even though you commit the same crime, you don't receive the same punishment. A lot of the people who are poor, we don't even hear them on the news. Wrongly accused. Man, it burns my heart when time to time I hear news like someone was wrongly prison for like 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and then finally they come free. And then I begin to wonder. I wonder how many more are in that situation who never had that opportunity to be set free. So what James is saying in the Word of God is still happening today. And we see it all the time. Prejudice rewards the bad people. And finally, prejudice is sin, and you break God's law. One law that everybody knows during this time and our time is Shema, right? Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those two are the law that Jesus says, hey, everything is summed up in those two laws. James talks about one, right? He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 8, you are doing well. This is called the royal law. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressed. But fails in one point, has become guilty of all of it. So showing partiality is just not a mistake. It is a sin. And now you might say, oh, Pastor Sam, I don't really show partiality. I'm pretty good with everybody. Think about people you associate with, people that you call. Oh, the NBA players are complaining because they're in a bubble, man. Bubble. But you know, you and I have bubble that we live in. And we are comfortable within that bubble. We are comfortable with KCC people. We are comfortable with our friends at school. We are comfortable with our coworkers. We're comfortable with our family. But what about people that's outside? Oh, we don't associate with them. But the sad reality is, even within the body of Christ, within the same church, there is segregation. I don't know. Depending on the car you drive, how much money you have, what kind of job you have, what kind of major you study, how much money you are willing to spend, right? Right? And you know, oh, 20 bucks here, there, it's no big deal to you. But 20 bucks is a lot of money to others. So you segregate. It's happening everywhere. If you show partiality, verse 9, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So now we have to apply this standard that James is mentioning. Comes from verse 12, 13. Now, during the past 300 years, many Americans have been guilty of showing prejudice to poor people. People by their skin colors. But you know what? As I was preparing this message, it's not the problem of white people. It's a problem with all race. And the problem, hear me out, it's not the world. The problem is with us, Christians. We are the problem. The world doesn't know better because they don't have the truth. But we have the truth. We have the Word of God. And yet, we're not living by God. You know, in Jesus' times, Jews detested Samaritans. Samaritans, they were not blooded Jews, but they have come from Assyria and foreigners, and they intermarried with Jews. So so-called half-breeds, right? And Jews hated them. They looked at
godless, inferior people. So good Jews would actually travel many, many miles away. Instead of traveling from north and south directly through Samaria, they would travel all the way. They take a huge detour because they didn't want to step on the land of Samaria. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, John chapter 4, it mentions a story where Jesus goes to Samaria, goes to a well where everybody gathers. This is like a city hall, right? This is where everybody come together. Water. He goes there during noontime and meets a woman, Samaritan woman. Go back and read the story. It's a fascinating story. A woman who's been with five different men. And the woman that she's, a man that she's living with right now is not even her husband. So talk about someone that's been disregarded. People don't want to associate with her. So herself, she felt embarrassed. So she doesn't go early in the morning to get water because it's a cool in the morning or cool in the evening. That's when all the other ladies come to gather water. But she goes there during the hottest time of the day, noon. Why? Because she doesn't want to face anything. Jesus makes a time and go there to meet with her. And her life is forever changed. Jesus broke down the barriers. Whenever I preach this message, you might think, okay, does it mean that I need to go to inner city? Does it mean that I need to go somewhere, a homeless shelter, and just spend my life there? No, because Jesus didn't do that. He always came back to his disciples. He came back to his roots. But he took an effort to step out of his comfort zone. He was teaching his disciples, I don't want you to be so focused on yourself that you're missing out on the people that I am gathering. When we get to heaven, we're going to have all kinds of people. You know, my dad is a Baptist pastor, and often we argue about different doctrines because we're both pastors. Oh, we go hard, we fight, right? And I said, Dad, what do you think about this verse? And then my dad said, oh, yeah, I can back it up with this verse. Like, we'll go back and forth. And at the end, I will always ask him, Dad, are they going to be Pentecostal in heaven? And then he comes. Stays quiet. You always ask me that. Will there be Methodists in heaven? Will there be Presbyterians in heaven? It's not going to be all Baptists. I can tell you that. That always settles things, right? We're going to have all kinds of people in heaven. The way that we enjoy heaven on earth is when we begin to open up. When we begin to reach out. When we begin to let the scripture be our standard. We should have been the first to declare Black Lives Matter. We should have been the first to say, hey, we need to make difference in this world. And let me tell you, those riots, those things does not resolve anything. Yes, come from within. People who have the same standard, so to say. And who have the same standard? People who believe in the Word of God, we have the same standard. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter who you were before, as Paul has mentioned. What matters is now, this is our standard. So James challenges us, verse 12, he says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James is reminding the readers that according to the law, all of us must face judgment. According to the law, all of you and me, we're doomed to die. That's what we deserve, right? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is what? Death. We all deserve to die according to the law. But what's amazing is that mercy triumphs over judgment. So first thing that you have to decide is, are we going to choose or live your life to culture or according to scripture? That's where it all begins. Oh, Pastor Sam, what are your thoughts on homosexuals? Oh, Pastor Sam, what are your thoughts on drinking? What are your thoughts on this and that? Who cares what I think? You shouldn't care about what I think. You should care about what the Bible says. You should care about what the Word of God says. And sometimes, rather than try to interpret what Bible says, accept it as it is. Like the verse that we read today. Just accept it as it is. Whatever the Holy Spirit kind of reminds you through that verse, accept it as it is. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy. If you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. That's what basically what verse 13 is saying. Difference between grace and mercy is grace is giving something good that someone does not deserve. That's what grace is, right? Mercy is not giving something bad that someone deserves. Punishment. And James is reminding us we need to have more mercy. Only by grace he has saved us. Sir. Only by grace he has saved us from going to hell. And since we have received this mercy of God, isn't it right for us to show our mercy towards others? Out of 12 disciples, really, there was only one who was qualified to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Someone wrote this. He says, only one candidate shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, and has a keen business mind. He has contacts in high places, and is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. Judas Iscariot. All the other guys doesn't qualify. They're uneducated, fishermen. Only one qualifies. Judas Iscariot. And what did Judas do? He's the one who sold Jesus. He's the one who betrayed Jesus. Why am I saying that? If we judge a book by its cover, if we look at someone by their appearance or their status, their education, especially those of you who are single, praying for your future spouse, this really applies to you guys. Be careful. Be careful, the person that you choose. But we see this often in our lives today. Look at people by what they have and how they can help us in this world. And basic message today is do not show favoritism. How do we apply this? As you go back to school, go back to class on Monday, befriend somebody that you usually do not talk with. Open up to those coworkers that you really don't associate with. Extend your grace. Extend your mercy to other people. Perhaps maybe even your neighbors. Or even within the church. Instead of associating with only a particular group of people, reach out. You know, Saturday morning, every morning, there's about a dozen KM men that come to sanitize the building and do different odd works for the church. Hi, I invite you to come out, be part of that. Oh, it's weird. All this ajashi, right? Old people. Come, be part of it. There's a fellowship that happens. I learn so much. I get to learn their lives. I didn't know. One guy, I mean, he was working so hard putting floor yesterday. I didn't know he's a retired professor in Korea. He was a professor in Korea for like 30 plus years and just retired, and now he's back in Ohio. And he's laying floor Saturday. I said, praise God. I believe God honors that. Doesn't matter what our position is. Reach out to people that we are not uncomfortable with. And you know what? That's the only way we can resolve this racial issue. That's the only way that we can resolve whatever issues that you might see in the world today. When God's people get back to the foundation of believing God's word, and not only believing it, but acting upon it, so that whoever and whomever God allows us to have encounter, you don't have prejudice towards that person, but instead you accept them with open heart. And here's the thing. It might even put you in danger. It might. But isn't that all of what Christ has done? He put his life in danger. He gave up his own life so that you and I can have life. Only way that we can pray for our daily bread is when we are poor in the spirit. And when we are poor in the spirit, all the walls that we have built up begin to break down. And we see that person as a precious child of God. We see that person as someone that God honors. And who am I to say that that person is wrong? Who am I to say that that person is different? Let us begin to love one another. Let us begin to break down those barriers. Let us begin to see the world with the word, the eyes that God has given to us. And I pray that through our church, through you guys, that others will find hope, knowing that, hey, there are a group of people at KCC that genuinely love, that genuinely share joy of salvation with one another, so that others may see Christ in our life. Let us pray. Hey, here at KCC, we'd like to spend a couple minutes to reflect on God's word and allow Holy Spirit to speak to us. What is He convicting you of today? Hey, I believe many of us have been on both sides of being prejudiced. But it does us no good to shift blame to whoever. We need to look within ourselves. And I believe God is speaking to us today. Now, let's put it into action. Maybe you need to repent before God. You need to ask God's forgiveness for setting up this wall. But I know you want to be protected. I know you don't want to get hurt. So we put these barriers around our lives where we associate with certain type of people. But sometimes we need to step out of our comfort zone. And you know what? That's evangelism. That's mission. When you step out of your culture, step out of your comfort zone to minister to someone, God called. Perhaps God is convicting you to reach out to your fellow students, co-workers, your neighbors. Maybe you need to ask them for your forgiveness. Whatever it is that God is stirring in your heart, let us just humble ourselves before the Lord and spend next 2-3 minutes. just asking the Lord to reveal these things in our hearts. We need to apply it. We need to meet with God. Let's make it real this morning. It's not just having worship time on Sunday and just leave, but we need to be not just a hearer of the words, but the doers of this word. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts right now. Let's pray. Let's pray together, church. Oh, Father God, let us humbly come before you, Lord. We thank you for giving us this message, of hope. God, forgive us. Forgive us for setting the limitation in our comfort zone, oh, Father God. And James, Lord, thank you for revealing to us that it is a reflection of our own heart. Even in our modern days, Lord, Father God, there is barrier, there is prejudice, Lord, Father God. There is favoritism, Lord. We set out these things, Lord, Father God. We show partiality to a certain group of people, Lord, Father God. Oh, Lord, I pray that our church will never do that, Lord. I pray that we would break down those things, Lord, Father God. Regardless of our age, regardless of our position, regardless of how long we've been a Christian or how long we've been a KCC, Lord, Father God, I pray that we will lay all those things down. I pray that we will serve one another with humility, that we will genuinely love each other, Lord Father God, with the love that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord Father God. Help us to bow down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and live for his glory, Lord Father. I pray that we will not judge someone by their appearance or their skin or their color or their background, Lord Father God. I pray that genuinely we'll be able to love one another, the love that Christ has given to us, Lord Father God. Lord, I pray for those who have been in this church. Yes, Lord Father God, it's so easy for us to just make our own group, make our own cliques, Lord. I pray that you will break down those things, Lord, because you're not pleased, Lord Father God. You want us to reach out. You want us to step over. You want us to cross over and reach out to those people, Lord Father. Lord, be with me as a pastor, Lord Father God, as a minister, Lord. An open heart, Lord Father, to brothers and sisters from many different backgrounds, that I will not. Continue to pray as you want to. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to, obey his calling.
Your name, Let us be one voice, declaring that you reign. Let us be one voice in love and harmony. And we pray, oh God, grant us unity. Let us be one voice that glorifies your name. Let us be one voice, declaring that you reign. Let us be one voice in love and harmony. And we pray, oh God, grant us unity.
Oh, Father God, yes. The song that is our prayer, Lord. Pray that you bring us unity. Not unity in the teams that we root for. Not unity in the status or the schools that we attend or the jobs that we have. Not unity in the race that we are belong to, but unity in Jesus Christ. Unity under your law, the Holy Scripture. Oh, Father God, would you give us the spirit of meekness? Help us to be poor in our spirit. For those are the one who receive the kingdom of God. Oh, Father God, I pray that each one of us will remind ourselves once again how wretched we are, that we have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. None of us deserve to be saved. Oh, Father, I help us to dwell in that so that we can love others just as you have loved us. Lord, I lift up our church to you, Lord Father God. I pray that all of us will break down the barriers, Lord Father. That you will begin to use us to bring true unity. So that whoever that walks into those doors will feel welcome in this place. That we will reach out to help those who are in need. That we will not hesitate. That we would sacrifice our time, our resources to help those. And Father God, forgive us if we have sinned before you. And I pray that from this day forth, that we would do our part to obey the command that you have given to us. Now, Lord, as we go our separate ways, I pray that the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the love of the Father that gave us only begotten Son, and the anointment, protection, and the guide, and the reminder of the Holy Spirit will go before us, so that as we go out into this world, to the mission field, Lord, that we can truly proclaim the name of Jesus, not verbally, but with our life, with our action, so that others may see your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for coming. I pray that God will be with you throughout the week. And please reach out to me, Kakao message or Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. My wife has a Facebook. If you have any prayer requests or if you need some counsel, I'm here Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm only off on Monday, but I'm usually here at church. Reach out to me, text message me, and I would love to get to know you a little better, okay? All right, guys. Have a great week.